the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are sinful and unclean by nature, and also that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And so we flee to find refuge in your limitless mercy, looking and pleading for your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Most merciful God, who gave your only Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake, forgive us all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us real knowledge of you, and of your will, and real obedience to your word, so that by your grace, we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
House has consumed me.
And the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me.
O God, why do you cast us off forever?
Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture?
Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage.
Remember Mount Zion, where you have dwelt.
Direct your steps to the perpetual ruins.
The enemy has destroyed everything in the sanctuary. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
For zeal for your house has consumed me.
And the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me.
with you. Let us pray.
O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 26th chapter. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate, without inhabitant'?" And the people, all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, "This man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard from your own ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the peoples, saying, "The Lord has sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster which he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In peace, I will both lie down and sleep.
For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress.
Be gracious to me and hear my prayer.
O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame?
How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?
But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself.
The Lord hears when I call to him.
Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent.
Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, "Who will show us some good?"
Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord.
You have put more joy in my heart
than they have when you're reigning upon the mountains.
In peace, I will both lie down and sleep.
For you alone, O Lord, may be well.
Both lie down and sleep.
For you alone, O Lord, may we dwell in safety.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the third and fourth chapters. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears,
walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say,
blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, go, tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Congregation, may be seated. Forward, Ethan, Riley, Barb, and Jonathan. As you witness these baptisms, take hold of your own baptism as your daily return to the font as you renounce the devil and confess faith in the triune God. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, baptism now saves you. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. Therefore, depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, eight souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Ethan Michael and Riley Jacob
according to your boundless mercy, and bless them with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all saved and dead, which have been inherited from Adam, and which they themselves have committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that they be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, they would be declared worthy of eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now address the sponsors. Beloved in the Lord, from ancient times the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors or baptismal candidates to assist parents in the responsibility of raising children in the faith. Jake and Kristen, you are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. You are to serve as witnesses of Riley's and Ethan's baptisms. You are to pray for them every day, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. Finally, you are at all times to be an example to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Kristen, is it your intention to serve Ethan Michael as sponsor in the Christian faith? Then say yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Jake, is it your intention to serve Riley Jacob as sponsor in the Christian faith? Then say yes with the help of God. Yes, with the help of God. God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel from St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Rabbi Jacob, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Please stand. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family, and have granted Ethan, Michael, and Riley Jacob the new birth and holy baptism, and made them members of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heirs of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as they have now become your children, you would keep them in their baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, they may faithfully lead godly lives to the praise and honor of your name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
Peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the lament of Jesus over Jerusalem from Luke 13. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. This is our text. It starts with a warning from the Pharisees. They say to Jesus, "Flee, run away. Herod wants to kill you, just like he killed John the Baptizer." It's awfully sweet of the Pharisees to have Jesus back like that, and awfully surprising as well. You probably remember that the Pharisees are the ones who are so often looking for ways to trap Jesus, not to protect him. But the death threat that Herod has made is not news to Jesus. Death threats are old news. There's a new one, it seems, around every corner in our Lord's life. Do you remember way back when he was an infant, how this Herod's father, Herod the Great, tried to kill Jesus by slaughtering the baby boys of Bethlehem? Do you remember what happened after Jesus' first sermon in his hometown of Nazareth, when they took him to the cliff that the city was built on and tried to push him over the edge? And even before this, in the Gospel of Luke, twice Jesus has already predicted his own violent death. So he knows more about these death threats than they do. And the last thing Jesus is going to do is to tuck up his robe and run away. We might do that. We might choose to play it safe. But he doesn't. He won't. He never will. Jesus is going to keep going forward. He's going to head to Jerusalem. And he's going to keep doing what he came to do. Keep casting out demons. Keep healing those who are physically and spiritually diseased. Keep right on until he reaches the end of his course. At the end of his course, Herod will have a small role to play. You can read about it in Luke chapter 22 or 23. But Jesus' life and his death are not in Herod's hands. They are in the hands of his Father in heaven. And what is it that matters most to Jesus as he marches toward death? Why does he do it? Why doesn't he turn tail and run? What matters most to him is not saving himself, but saving you. What matters most to Jesus is not that he find a safe place to be protected, but rather that he go to Jerusalem for your protection. He does what he does because he loves you. And what a beautiful image he uses of himself today. He describes himself as a mother hen trying to gather her chicks under the safety of her wings. Jesus goes to Jerusalem. He goes to his death saying, "I would gather you. I would gather you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." So why doesn't everyone flock to him? Why do so many refuse to be gathered under his care? Why do so many resist and oppose him? It's because their hearts are hard. It's because their ears are dull. Take Herod, for example. Herod loves his power. He considers Jesus to be a spectacle, maybe a little bit of a threat. And when he finally sees Jesus on that Good Friday morning, he mocks him. Or take the Pharisees. In the Gospel of Luke, they are described as people who love money. They trust their own righteousness and not the righteousness of Jesus. They don't want to hear his words, and they certainly don't want his words to prick their consciences and bring them to repentance. So they refuse the power of God and his purposes for themselves. And then there's that city of Jerusalem. It stands right at the center of our reading today. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem," Jesus says. What will that city do? How will those people receive him? Will they receive Jesus as they received the prophets of old, like Jeremiah, by persecuting him? Or will they bless him as the one who comes in the name of the Lord? Will they heed his warnings and flee to him for refuge? Or will they do as they did with the prophet Jeremiah declare him worthy of death because he prophesied against the city? Will they shed his innocent blood to get rid of God's word of judgment, his word of law and gospel? Now, they didn't succeed in killing Jeremiah, though they desired to do that, but they will succeed in killing Jesus. This is the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her and crucifies the Son of God. Jesus goes to Jerusalem to die. He goes to Jerusalem to be rejected by the people and to receive the wrath of God into his own body. He goes to Jerusalem to spread out his wings on the cross, that all who seek refuge may find it in him. And yet along the way, he is met by so many hard hearts, that resist his invitation of mercy, that turn away from his grace. And yet our God is gracious, and he remains merciful. And if you follow him to Jerusalem through the Gospel of Luke, you'll see that he longs to forgive sinners. He even longs to gather those who resist him, who turn away from his word, who murder his prophets. And some are gathered under his wings, those who listen to the words of Jesus, those who take to heart his parables, those who believe what he says. It's a pretty motley crew that follows Jesus and gathers around him. There are sinners and tax collectors. There's that little man named Zacchaeus who climbed the sycamore tree to see him. There are women whose reputations are not good. And there are those from whom Jesus casts out demons, and those whose illnesses he heals, and those whose sins he forgives, because they recognize that God is present in Jesus Christ to save, to cover with his shelter. And what about you? Jesus, true, has already gone to Jerusalem, but what about you and me? We're gathered here at church now, aren't we? But what would it look like for us to be gathered by Jesus? What would it look like for us to find refuge under his wings? And what is it that you need refuge from? One of the ways this occurred to me during the week was wondering about the things that keep us up at night. I was talking to someone last week who mentioned how much the war in Ukraine is keeping him awake. But what are the foxes that are terrorizing your life? Where is it that you find your strength lacking? The battle is not against flesh and blood, and yet there are plenty of flesh and blood people whose decisions and actions threaten us and affect our lives. Or maybe it's some vaguer problem that you have, the economy or work or the global supply chain or that pesky virus. It doesn't have a face, but it still haunts your life. Maybe it's a disease, an illness, a sadness. Maybe it's that habitual sin that you just can't break, or the person you can't forgive. There are all sorts of adversities that happen to our bodies, all sorts of evil thoughts that afflict and plague our souls. Jesus has come for you. He has come to gather you in your need, in that hour of deepest need, under the shelter of his wings. And you notice what he did, two things. The first thing he did was to lament over those who would not seek refuge in him, to lament over the people for whom he came but turned away from him, to lament over the hardness of heart and their impenitence, over the damage that they would do to themselves and to others, over the punishment they would receive. And you can believe for sure that Jesus laments over our sin. He laments over our impenitence and our hardness of heart and the ways that we too often stuff our ears so that we don't have to listen to his word. But he does more than that. He goes on. He goes to Jerusalem. He stares death in the face and he marches toward it. And I guarantee you, when Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem on Good Friday, it was death that was shaking in its boots and not our Lord. Our Lord would gather us. Let us not oppose him. Let us not be hostile to him. Let us not close our ears to his word. Let us not resist his invitation. I would ask today, are there aspects in your life in which you are refusing to follow him? Are there ways that you are an unwilling chick? As he spreads his wings, you're trying to stay off in the edges and take care of yourself. Or are you perhaps running the other direction? Is there anything in your conscience that is bothering you because Jesus is here to care for you? And he wants you to seek your refuge in him. He would have you be under his wings, and not under the wings of anyone or anything else. He would have you be protected by his own life, death, and resurrection, rather than be protected by something else or find security in another place. So many have wandered away. So many have rejected his purposes for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, he seeks you again today. He bids you to listen to his teaching. Do not ignore the things that you find hard in his word. Pay attention to him more than to your own thoughts and desires. Do not run off into danger, but find shelter under his wings. Our Lord speaks here in the scriptures with such a tender and beautiful image, calling us to gather around him, to gather under his word, to gather under his sacraments, because he senses danger for us. Yes, Herod may be after Jesus, but we know the devil is a roaring lion who is seeking us. And so our Lord draws us together. He protects us with his outstretched wings. This beautiful image that's picked up from the Old Testament, it speaks of our God lifting up on his wings like eagles. It speaks of him covering us under his pinions, under his feathers. It speaks of him drawing us into his care. That image is picked up by Jesus here. He is the one who would be not only a mother hen to us, but he would be an eagle to us. He would lift us up and carry us on his wings. He is the God who has come to save and rescue us. And his desire is still the same for us, for our children, for our neighbors, and for our friends. His desire is still the same today as it was then on his way to Jerusalem, to gather us under his wings, to gather us under his cross, to gather us under his resurrection, to gather us under his arms outstretched in the ascension. He wants us and our children to be gathered to him. It starts by bringing ourselves and our children to church. Usually it begins like it did today for Ethan and Riley at the baptismal font, with Christ saying, "Let the little children come to me, that they may find refuge in him. Let them be gathered under his wings." It includes them and us being gathered around his word, hearing his preaching, hearing his word as we study it in adult Bible study and in Sunday school and in our homes. It includes that precious gift of Holy Communion, the very body and blood of Jesus. Today, Lewis will be welcome to that gift as well. For Jesus says, "Here, at my altar, you find refuge, you find peace, you find forgiveness of sins. You have one who is stronger and greater than any Herod who might threaten you." For Jesus is not only a prophet, but he is our Lord and he is our God. He doesn't care what threats Herod levels. He doesn't seek to save his own skin. He has come to save you and to be your refuge. And he was willing to head to Jerusalem. He was willing to take on the cross to be your Lord and your God. And he is present still. He is still spreading out his wings. He is still inviting you to find refuge in his word, in his holy supper. For our Lord, there was no lying down and sleeping in peace. There was no dwelling in safety. He had nowhere to lay his head except the grave until the third day when he rose from the dead. And our Lord was calmly determined to carry out his work no matter what dangers existed. He knew the goal that he had in mind, that end point, that cross staked in the ground. and his desire was to go there for you. And so he did. And now he comes here for you, not only today, but Sunday after Sunday, service after service, week after week. He comes to be your Lord and your God, and to cover you with his wings, the wings of his forgiveness, the wings of life and salvation. And because Jesus didn't flee from Herod, but went to Jerusalem to suffer and die, we can now lie down and sleep in peace. We know that he has us covered. We can pray the words of that psalm that we already prayed today. You alone, O Lord, you alone make me dwell in safety. He had no desire to escape, only to protect. And for him, the danger is now past. That fox, Herod, is dead. The Pharisees are gone. Jerusalem has suffered and been destroyed, but Jesus is alive, and he lives forevermore. And our Lord will come again. The day will come when we will say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." First on Palm Sunday, and again when he comes in glory. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be the next day. We will all cry out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, for under his wings we have found shelter." In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
You may be seated. I invite forward Lewis and his godparents. Beloved in the Lord, in holy baptism, Lewis was born again as God's child and received into his church. As a further gift of his love for us, our Lord Jesus Christ has given his church the sacrament of the altar and invites his children to receive the sacrament in faith for the forgiveness of their sins. The Apostle Paul reminds us, "Let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." And as often as he eats this bread and drinks the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lewis has received instruction, has been examined by me as pastor regarding his sin and his understanding of the sacrament of the altar. Lewis, you are about to be admitted to the Lord's table. Holy Scripture describes the life of the church and every baptized Christian, including you, with these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. You are invited by our Lord to come regularly, to hear his word and receive his sacrament. You will continue to be instructed and nurtured in the Christian faith and life. You are invited to confess your sins and receive the comfort of holy absolution. All this will help you as you live as the child of God you have been made through holy baptism. In testimony of this confession, I now ask you, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is your Lord?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and shed his blood for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that in the Lord's Supper he gives you his true body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins and to strengthen your faith in him and your love toward others? Do you intend to continue to hear and receive the instruction of your Lord, confess your sins, and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully throughout your life?
Yes, with the help of God.
Lewis, I therefore invite you to the Lord's Supper to receive Christ's precious body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I now address the godparents, mother, and members of the congregation. The whole church shares with you the responsibility and concern for the ongoing instruction and spiritual care of this young man. I now ask you, will you intercede for him in prayer, and as much as you are able, give him your counsel and aid, that in communion with the church he may grow up to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ, then answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
Please stand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, whose Son, Jesus Christ, loved the young and called them to himself, we ask you to bless Lewis. Strengthen him in the faith through the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, so that he may grow spiritually and bring forth the fruits of faith in a life of love toward others, to the praise and honor of your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We rejoice with thankful hearts in your confession of faith. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his holy supper, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Be with Vicar Ed Schneefloke in his continued studies and service to the church, and keep both him and Kathy continually in your care, and bless our brothers and sisters in Christ at Christ Lutheran Church in Troy. Lord, in your mercy, may your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Joe Zineski, John Erickson, Heather Connell, Eleanor Norrie, Sherry Nord, Ed Pinard, Alicia Reinhart, Nancy Roberts, Ted Roberts, Sue Solberg, David Salcido, Gwen Shope, Helene Schott, Pat Silvestro, Michelle Studlian, Ann Bennett's neighbor Donna, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy. Watch over and provide for our sisters and brothers in St. Matthew's Lutheran Church in New Britain, Connecticut, as well as their pastor, and be with all in that community who have suffered as a result of the recent arsons. Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Watch over and protect all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Stephanie Miller, Kristen Gregory, Kristen Hamlin,
Melinda Bergeron, Allie Moore, and Shayla Moore. Comfort those who have suffered miscarriage or infertility. Grant peace, we pray, to all lands where there is war and strife, especially Ukraine and Eastern Europe. And guide the church to care for those in need, to protect the innocent. And we pray that you would bring to repentance those who are responsible. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, grant your comfort to all who mourn, especially to Gino and Linda, and all the family and friends of Gino's Aunt Annie, and deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is, his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
You take away. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be restrained, but have the free rein it deserves, and be proclaimed for the salvation of souls, and for the joy and the strength of Christ's holy people, so that we serve you with steadfast faith, and confess your name to the end, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.